WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, on Odyssey Sports Station.
Breakfast today?
Yeah, I'm in. After the big victory, I'm in for breakfast.
You're a little tired. I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
Now, walking, listen, it's a good path, but walking 18 over there at Wingfoot in 100 degree heat.
Yeah, it's.
It felt like 2-a-days.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
After a real 2-a-days where we were out in the sun for 4 hours.
Yeah, where water wasn't a given. They would say, you know, you'd have to play well and show effort to get a water break.
And neither was a concussion.
Right.
That wasn't a given either. By the way, I do have a gift for you.
Oh, nice.
One of our listeners sent us a gift as we talked to him last week on the air.
Okay.
He was the urologist. You remember Elon?
Yeah,
so Elon Mass, Dr. Elon Mass, sent us his invention. So when we get stuck in our cars, and here it is. The Travel John disposable urinal.
Oh,
so you
nice.
Get one and I get one.
Awesome. Leak proof, odorless, absorbent pouch.
This is, they came up for this for the taxi cab drivers, if you remember.
Yeah, of course.
So he says, if you ever want to connect, we can call him back. He has worked with extensive work with cab drivers in urology. He also wrote a paper about the issue back when he was a resident at NYU.
This guy's thought a lot about peeing in a car.
Here's the paper if you want to read it. Look at this. This is how smart he is.
This is great. You guys see this? You pee right in here. How about that?
How much can it hold?
28 ounces.
What's a normal amount of
piss?
I was going to say urine, yes.
I don't know. You want to give it a shot?
Can we give that to our guys like Rosenberg and Connor when they work the Yankee games here and they can't go to the bathroom for the entire length of the broadcast?
Yes.
They can use that in the control room?
No. I'm taking this, man. I've been in a car, man.
Should get their own. Yeah, I'm keeping this in the car. This is great. Can you fit in that?
Yes, I can fit in that.
It is okay. Expandable, right? Hopefully.
All right. Relax. By the way, I did hear a story yesterday I've heard the story before, but I think it was confirmed for me yesterday.
Okay.
That was really unbelievable.
What?
It has to do with what you just asked me, whether or not I could fit in there, about somebody who's able to tie his wiggly into a knot.
Come on.
Yes.
Someone we know?
We know who he is. We don't know him personally.
Oh, so I mean...
But we do know who he is, and we do know that he...
Charles Haley?
He played in the NBA. I'm not going to sit here and tell you his name.
Why? But why not?
But supposedly, he tied it in a knot.
Sam Cassell?
Supposedly, he tied it, his willy in a knot.
I mean,
which is unbelievable.
That sounds like it hurts. I mean, I understand the length is there, but it sounds like it really hurts.
Yeah, but I'm going to say he didn't pull the knot tight. He just tied it in a knot.
All right, so, but why? I mean, that's like a pat on the back type of thing. It's not embarrassing.
Well,
why can't you just say who it is?
I just don't think it's like it's not a story.
Kevin Garnett.
It's not a story that you would like to mention the person's name unless that person is sitting in the room with you and you ask that person that question.
Kevin Garnett.
Because I thought that it was a myth, and then I heard yesterday that it was not a myth, that it was true.
You didn't say no to Kevin Garnett.
I'm not saying no or yes to anybody.
All right, let's see. Let me just
it's probably NBA of course
tied penis in knot. Manute Bol.
No. What? It's on the internet?
Yeah. I met him in Vegas. Me, I swear to God. Me, Sal, Monzo, and Melusis.
Does it give you a different perspective now?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, that's not surprising at all that he would have that type of Schwanson that he'd be able to tie it right up. He could probably lasso a calf with that thing. You know? Oh, baby. All right, you know what? Let's take a call here before we get into some Pete Alonso, Juan Soto talk. Tim in Indian Hills. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, guys. Great show. You guys are talking about Craig going into Susan Waldman, and I thought that a great segue is after he comes in and he does his little shtick, if maybe Susan said, hello, la, la, la.
Yeah, I mean, that would show that she was on board and totally into it, you know?
I mean, she was on Broadway, so she gets the entertainment aspect of it.
What did she do on Broadway again?
Wasn't she on Broadway? She was in a Broadway play, right, Eddie?
Yes.
There's no business like show business, like no business I
she's
know.
She's done a few national anthems.
Yeah, well, yes.
Yeah. Well, of course, I mean, listen, no one likes to be made fun of. I understand her perspective on that, but, you know, it's been, did he do a lot of, I know he did it occasionally on Carton and Roberts, but not nearly as much the Susan impersonation as he did with you.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's been a while since he was really...
Well, he did a John and Susan, like, back and forth.
Right.
Just like he would do a Mike and Chris back and forth.
Yeah.
Now, his impressions weren't nearly as spot on as yours. They were just so out there that they were funny.
Right. I understand what you mean. Yes. And I would remember listening to them and laughing. And the Susan stuff was always entertaining. But, you know, it's been a long time, and it's going to be fine. I mean, I know that it's very interesting, but I think that the two of them, I mean, I know it's funny when you laughed at me before when I said professional and respect, but I think that in this instance, that's what it's going to be.
I think you have no choice. There could be some uncomfortable and intense moments, but there's also a rhythm to a ball game that we hear often, like when we listen to Howie. And we used to listen to John and Susan. There's a rhythm that they have because they've worked so long together and they just know when each other is talking and what the responsibilities are for Susan when she's doing all of her live reads and sponsorships and things of that nature. And I'm sure, you know, Craig will be able to see that because she'll be handed cards and things of that nature. So he'll know when to shut up, hopefully. But it will be an interesting dynamic. I mean, because they've never, ever worked together. And he's made fun of her, and I'm sure she's not been very happy about it. And it will make for some interesting listening, that's
right.
For sure. And that's exactly what the Yankees want.
Oh, of course. And we talked about this extensively at 7 a.m., and if you missed any of it, you can go to the free Odyssey app, and you could use the rewind feature or the podcast feature, and I'll listen to spend about 20 minutes on the topic. All right. So, you get a lot of questions at the Home Run Derby last night, the All-Star game, where Juan Soto would be asked about his future. Pete Alonso asked about his future. They give different answers. Juan Soto, I'm trying to win a championship. We'll see at the end of the year what happens. Pete Alonso, I want to be a Met. This is where I want to be. I want to stay here. I love it here. All of those things. Is it fair to say that it's hypocritical for Pete Alonso to say that he wants to be a Met for the rest of his career, but then having switched his agent to Scott Boras? Because Scott Boras famously is the guy that no matter where you are or where the money is, you take top dollar. And the most famous example of that was Alex Rodriguez going to the Texas Rangers in a last place team in the prime of his career. So when Pete Alonso says, you know, I want to be here, I want to stay here, I want to be here, I love it here. But then you hire Scott Boras. Scott Boras isn't the guy who negotiates the deals for the guys who want to stay. He's the guy that milks every dollar out of every team, and you go to the place that offers you the most.
So what was the reported amount that David Stearns offered Pete Alonso? Was it like 5 years, $156 million? Sounds like Jalen Brunson's contract.
Say that on the air, Fleeks.
It was 7 years, either $158 million or $159.
7 years? Wow.
Yeah. And he's 30 now, or 31? 30.
So that
29,
would have been,
he'll
would,
be 30
that
in December.
That would have included this year.
Yeah. Mets made an offer through Alonso's agency for 7 years, $158 million, according to Joel Sherman. Sherman noted that the contract was influenced by Atlanta Braves first baseman Matt Olson, who signed an 8-year deal worth $168 to stay with the team prior to the 22 season.
Actually, it makes a little bit of sense.
Your microphone is on.
It makes sense when you're comparing it to the Matt Olson deal.
Yeah. Makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
All right. So if 7 years, $158 doesn't get it done,
right?
What is Scott Boras looking for?
That's a good question.
I mean, he's gonna. They're gonna ask for 10. You know, they're asking for 10. Now he ain't. He's not getting 10, but they're gonna ask for 10. I mean, it's gonna be interesting,
so
man.
Basically, they offered Matt. Matt Olson's making $22 million a year. That's basically what they offered him.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to settle for that. He's going to want to eclipse that.
Okay, he's going to want to eclipse it. Look at the year he's having right now. Very pedestrian
it's
for
Pete
Alonso.
It's a very pedestrian year. And by the way, Matt Olson is also 30 years old.
Yeah, and this was signed this was 2 years ago that it was signed, though.
Yes.
Prior to the 22 season. So he was 28 when he signed it. So a little bit different.
Well, one for 8 years, they offered 7.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they offered the same amount. He's going to look, depending on this is why I say he's under pressure to perform here in the second half. If he goes off and he leads the team to the playoffs, and you know, let's say he hits 20 home runs in the second half and he knocks in 60 runs, I mean, now you're talking about a guy that you're going to want to keep here. The fans are going to want you to keep here. And you will then, you know, either say to him, like the Giants said to Saquon Barkley, go out and get a deal and then bring it back to us.
Yeah, I mean, that is, and we will see in the episode tonight how that whole thing goes down.
And by the way, you know, that whole issue about whether or not Saquon knew his phone call was public.
Yeah.
They knew 100% that it was public. Because there's no way that Hard Knocks is putting that on the air without letting Saquon know that that was going to be a part of the show.
That would be gross malpractice.
And malpractice, yes.
From a network. You can't do that stuff.
That's, well, a lot of, like, you know, people on X were posting, you know, how could they put this phone call out there without Saquon knowing? Well, how do you know that Saquon didn't know?
Yeah, right. They're just
well, Saquon assuming. Did know. Of course he knew.
Of course. Yep. To me, this Pete Alonso thing mirrors Saquon Barkley in many ways. But I'll ask you this question. Who is more important? Who has been more important before Saquon left for the Eagles to their organization? Pete Alonso or Saquon Barkley? Pete Alonso to the Mets, Saquon Barkley to the Giants.
You know.
To me, it's not close.
It's Saquon.
No. To me, it's Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso to the Mets means a hell of a lot more than Saquon did. Pete Alonso stayed healthier. He was, you know, a guy that.
But can I just ask? Let me just ask.
He hits home runs.
Put it in this perspective.
Yeah.
If you think Vientos can play first base and you're going to go all in for Juan Soto, because you're going to end up paying him $50 million a year.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
I can see that. That's a different question, though. Like, I think
it's... Well, what would you rather have as a Met fan? I'd rather have
Juan Soto.
Okay.
But that doesn't... That's a different question what I'm asking. I think it's easier for the Giants, no matter what John Mara said, I think it's easier for the Giants to see Saquon go than it will the Mets to see Pete Alonso go.
All depends on how Pete Alonso performs his second half of the season.
Sure, and where the team ends up.
If this season goes off a cliff... And he does nothing or he gets hurt, you know, all bets are off.
Right.
And then it is Vientos the first and it's Juan Soto to right field.
Yeah, and I would like that, but I mean, think about the history of Mets homegrown position players. Not a lot of them. You know, no. Pete Alonso has an opportunity to be at the top of many of those categories.
David Wright, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
like
he really
Jose
does.
Reyes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and better than that.
Francisco Alvarez could be on that track?
Right. He could be, but he's got a long way
Brendan
to go.
Brendan Nimmo's on that track?
He's a homegrown guy putting up big numbers, yes. But think about, you know, the Giants' long, rich history. They have the 100 top players. Saquon ended up in the 90s. Pete Alonso, homegrown position player, hitting homers. I mean, he's already
a top three guy. I'll take the L on that.
All right.
But what I was thinking about is that Saquon playing with an injured quarterback and how many different quarterbacks he ended up playing with.
True.
Who had to carry the team offensively, essentially by himself. They had no wide receiver presence, no tight end presence. he was the guy that was going to make the plays.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, of course, going to a division rival is going to annoy the team. And to see that, I hope we see that it is the Eagles tonight on Hard Knocks, and we don't have to wait for that to see the reaction. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And seeing John Mara in that, in that preview clip where he goes, I'm going to have a tough time. He's starting to sound like a real old guy, John Mara.
Well, he is.
I know, but he's not that old. He sounds like an old guy.
But he's getting there. I'm going to have a tough time seeing Saquon go. I'm going to have a hard time sleeping tonight. Just remember, this Hard Knocks was created specifically for the Giants because the Giants did not want Hard Knocks to be around them during training camp.
Yeah, and I think
John Mara stood, I'm not doing it. And the NFL is like, okay, well, you're doing something.
Mm-hmm. So we'll create the offseason.
And they created the offseason, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah, it's been good. Been way better than I thought. I mean, I think the Giants are looking, I don't know, I feel like this has helped them as opposed to hurt them. Or maybe it hasn't done either.
I think it just gives the fan, the general fan, an idea of just how arduous a job that Joe Shane has and how difficult it is to find the right people to fit what you're trying to get done and to have the right coaches coaching them. And you're dealing with all sorts of people. I mean, sometimes I can't even believe how many people there are in there giving their opinions about things. I always felt like less is more. I think sometimes you get too many voices in your head and you get too many people trying to give you their ideas. Well, and you're like, how the hell do you actually make an idea, you know, come up with an idea yourself?
No, that is true. I mean, there's certain scouts that are dedicated to each position, you know, and then they pitch those things. But, I mean, I feel like you need to have that to be able to cover all your bases properly. You know, if you're spreading it too thin in this day and age of scouting, you got to have that many people. You know, and sometimes it's more of information-based, not opinion-based, you know? Like, a lot of it's like info. Like, I'm going to give you the info, and then you got
to count on those person giving you the right amount of info and the right understanding of who these players are.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
The Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Good to see our buddy Tom Izzo back. I missed him. He's noticeably tan, too. He's got that Mediterranean skin that Tom Izzo. He comes in, he's very dark. And he was off last week, so it's good to see that guy.
He just said it's good to be back because while he was on vacation, every morning he woke up just hoping Boomer wasn't hungry.
He said that.
He did.
Well, we're both tired today, man.
Yeah.
And I was up watching the convention. Gio's out partying, celebrating his big win yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. So it was a long day, but it was a good day. And Jerry is here with another update. What's happening, Jerry?
Brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. I know you played this in its entirety before, but just a quick check-in with Al Dukes on vacation.
Oh, hi there. Al Dukes here. I am trying to enjoy my vacation, but a couple things. One, my dog has diarrhea. Terrible. Two, my air conditioning broke, so it's going to be another like 90-something degree day, so I'm had it with life right now.
All right, it's going great.
You know what's funny is you guys, and I've heard on the podcast and the warm-up show, he is obsessed with turning the air conditioning on, not thinking it's going to work. He talks so much about the air conditioning. It's like he spoke this into existence.
Except for the fact that when he finally went and looked at it, it was 20 years old and a disaster.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he's got to call Sloman's.
He's working on
it. All right.
He's working on it. He is working on it.
I mean, definitely a self-fulfilling prophecy here with this air conditioning.
That is very true. But, we also spoke. I don't know why he hasn't got one of those stand-up units yet just to get himself through until it gets fixed. They're great to have.
Right.
But,
think about this. Week of vacation. He doesn't go anywhere. Lives at the beach. Heat wave. Uh-huh. Air conditioning goes.
Correct. Yeah, but he's got the ocean right out his window.
It's still warm. Yes, he does. And he'll have a breeze for
Nature's
sure.
Nature's air conditioner right
it's
there.
It's still warm, though. Like where I am, it's going to be 100. Where he is, it's still going to be 90, though.
Where's it going to be at Trump Bedminster today?
You'll be at around 100 degrees probably with a heat index of 112, I believe.
I don't care. I'm playing golf. I don't care.
Yeah, you'll have a good time.
Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. You will have a good time. Here's Pete Alonso from the Home Run Derby last night, where he didn't get out of the first round. In terms of going forward with this Met team, what he wants management to do?
We've done a great job. We've stuck together, and we've been playing our best baseball, and we're really showcasing who we are. So we're really excited for earning to be buyers at the deadline, because a lot of stuff can happen the next 2 weeks, but we really want to keep continuing to put our best foot forward and really make it happen.
And don't give them a choice to do anything but be buyers at the deadline. In terms of the Yankee side of things, Juan Soto and Aaron Judge are all-stars. They were not part of the Home Run Derby like Alonso was last night, but they were there. They were watching. They spoke to the media. Here was Soto. A couple of things from these two guys in terms of watching a guy like Aaron Judge on an everyday basis.
I don't think I can even do that in MLB The Show. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. Literally crazy to see all those homers and all those RBIs and even taking great at-bats after great at-bat. It's just incredible.
And so we're now months into this. What has he learned playing alongside a guy like Judge?
How he carries himself in and out of the field. I think it's one of the best characters that we have in the big leagues. He just an unbelievable captain, and he's always positive. He's always right there. He's coming to play every day. So I think that's one of the biggest things I realized.
You know, that is actually great to hear. Yeah. But that also makes me say that why should we pay you more than him?
I've said that too.
How can we pay you more than we're paying our captain?
Significantly
who's
more.
Actually playing better than you and has better numbers than you. So now I got to pay you how much?
Yeah, well, he is younger. 5 years younger than when Aaron Judge hit free agency.
That's you can go longer, maybe not as much, AAB. Yeah,
true.
Here was Judge will not get involved in Soto negotiations when he was asked about it.
You know, that decision's, you know, all based on him and his family and what, you know, what they want to do and what feels right, you know. So as a teammate, it's just about being supportive for him and, you know, they're showing him what New York can offer. But I think the fans have definitely shown him a lot of love and shown him, you know, what he means to this city.
And so he would give the love back, meaning Soto and the Yankee fans.
They are just one of the best fans in the world. I think they are been day in, day out, every day. I'm more than happy to be part of it, and they are unbelievable.
But as he said again yesterday, this year, we'll see after the season where he does sign. Soto and Judge in the starting lineup batting 3 and 4. Funhouse posted, after our conversation, another example of Colin Cowherd maybe not knowing baseball. Clearly, Mariano Rivera has one pitch, the cutter, lived on it for 20 years, and he dug this one up.
Obviously, Mariano Rivera was great. He was a one-pitch pitcher. If you are a great closer, what is your out pitch? I mean, I always think of Mariano, one the splitter. He had one pitch.
Mariano who? Duncan?
Yeah, I saw this when he tweeted us. It's just, I mean.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. I mean, I
guess, you know, we all make mistakes from now and again. You know, now.
Well, we make come a ton on. Of mistakes, yes. but he, the point is that he, that's not a mistake. He just doesn't know baseball. You know what I'm saying? He's a national radio guy, and they don't pay attention to baseball. I wouldn't either if I were a national radio guy. It's a regional sport, but he doesn't know it.
The Knicks agreed to a deal with free agent guard Cameron Payne. Giants quarterback Daniel Jones was talking to former Giants quarterback Phil Sims and Matt Sims on the Phil Sims podcast.
Ooh. Phil Sims podcast?
Yeah.
This has been around or no?
This is a thing.
Did you know that?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
He and Matt have been doing it for, I think, 2 years now.
I didn't know it was called the Phil Sims podcast.
But that's, you know what, if it's not called, maybe it's the Sims podcast.
Okay.
I saw it as the Phil Sims podcast.
It should be the Phil Sims podcast. I mean, he's the most famous of the Sims.
I would think so. That is true. Here was Phil letting Daniel know that he was a little late.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here, so appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, listen, we were waiting on you. You were a little late. That's okay, because you could do that when you're the quarterback.
I suppose. Then they would get into this hard-hitting interview, and the first tough question that was asked.
I just want to know this. When you were doing the running out of the field, did you take your shirt off?
No, I keep the shirt on. I keep the shirt on. Okay. That's what you used to do back in the day? You're a shirt-off type of guy?
Oh, absolutely. Every chance I got. I don't know why. I shouldn't have been so proud. It wasn't that good.
You ever see Phil shirtless?
I have.
Have you?
Okay. Yeah, he's white like me.
I can see through him. I mean, can see his organs.
Like, look at my legs, right? Like, right now, my legs are kind of dark for me.
Yeah, you got some color,
right?
You do got some color.
Okay. Yeah, you know what?
Oh my God.
I'm pretty white too up here. Look at this. Look at the difference here.
Gosh. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Wow. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah. That part of my thigh has never seen the sun.
I guess not.
Not one time.
Always wearing the golf shorts or the bathing suit. Yeah. Never bathed nude.
No, I just never
seen. In Italy this year, maybe? Nude.
Nude.
But down in Monaco. Monaco,
know ya?
Yeah, a little banana hammock.
Yeah, down in Monaco, and Gina can go topless.
We're not going to Monaco, but yes. The Bengals and T. Higgins did not agree on a deal before Monday's deadline. He will play with the franchise tag this year of $21.8 million. College football SEC Media Day, a bit different for Nick Saban, who now works for ESPN. He doesn't coach. And he learned a lesson. He was on ESPN where he referenced the fact that he realized you cannot get into these things without a media pass.
I've never worn a credential in my life, and was always for 17 years able to get into SEC Media Day without a credential. I had to go back to the room today and get my credential to get in. So that's one of the biggest changes I see. It's not like it used to be.
Kind of like Keith Hernandez forgot his credential last month in St. Louis, and they didn't know who he was and wouldn't let him in.
Yeah, but wasn't it like Carl Malone used to say, this is my credential, circle his face?
I think he said that in the studio with you guys.
Yeah, and he goes, when I go to that stadium, it's like, here's my credential right here.
Apparently not in other places for these guys.
I guess not.
And Patrick Ewing had that same issue at the Garden. That's right, when he was the Georgetown coach.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And then lastly, because it's going to take a little time to set up, I never thought this phrase would come out of my mouth on the show, but in YouTube golf, Phil Mickelson got together with Grant Horvat to do an 18-hole match, 9 holes on Grant's channel. The other 9 will be on Phil's channel, I think, today. I watched 4 holes of this yesterday with my son, and I think it was the second hole really caught my attention. Grant, little off the fairway, trying to figure out, and they're playing for not money. Phil can't do anything without betting. Yes. It was for Grant has to give someone a subscription to his wellness coffee, and Phil will have to wear weird pants.
Joggers at the British Open Championship. You have to wear joggers.
All 4 days.
Right. Well, if Grant hits a certain, if he loses,
that's right.
It's
if
one
the benchmark.
Day.
That's right.
Right. But, and this was actually the first hole.
Exactly. Oh, this was the first hole? Was it the second hole?
No, it was the first hole.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Anyway, here's Grant deciding out of the rough. He's going to use a lob wedge from under 100 yards.
Okay, we got 97 yards to the pin. I know it's going to go a little further with this air. 97 yards. I'm going to go with a 60. I want to land this just on. I think it could jump out of this lot.
All right, so he's got the 60-degree lob wedge. He's all set.
It sounds pretty reasonable, the setup of the shot.
Absolutely.
The thought process. Yes. And okay, I'm going to laser it in. This
guy's really good.
Yes.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing.
So then Phil would chime in and talk him into a sand wedge.
Well, usually what happens is this ryegrass is sticky, so you get what I call a dead flyer. So it comes out with no spin, but it goes shorter. It doesn't carry far enough. So I think it's going to fall out of the sky and end up short down that. You're playing for help down this wind. I think it's not going to have enough lift, won't have enough spin, and it's going to nosedive and be short. That's my guess. But let's see. Let's see who's right.
Phil is actually really close. He is. He's got a nice putt already on the first hole for birdie. I'm going 56 degree.
So he puts the lob wedge back, takes out the sand wedge, and it was way too much club.
Well, I guess I was wrong. Come on. It's going to be a long day. This is going to be a really long day. I'm never listening to you again.
All right, so as they drive up, not only is it long, this thing is out of play long.
I mean, that thing just flew the green. I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. Long's not where you want to be on this hole. That's too bad. Yeah, I mean, that one hurts. I mean, I might not even be in play.
It might not be.
It might be.
Where
two,
is
three.
It?
What usually catches the path and goes down.
Wow, yeah.
So I'm guessing it went in the hazard. I'm guessing it went down the car path because it usually does and then goes in the hazard down here. Yeah, long is not where you want to be on this, so you probably wanted to take one less club.
The club that he had.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so yeah, the first 9 were on Grant's channel. The next 9 will be on Phil's channel.
He is amazing.
Do we know what? I guess you don't want to tell us who won.
I don't know because the second part of it comes out today, I think.
Okay.
So it was literally, I think that thing was out for 10 minutes. And my son had it up on YouTube. I'm like, all right, I guess we're watching this today.
I mean, this, I'm telling you, I had no idea about this until Gio brought it up. And next thing you know, we're on it.
It's so much fun.
And now all of a sudden, it's all over the place. It's the thing to do. And by the way, I think you correctly pointed out that Bryson DeChambeau has reimagined himself on YouTube.
Yeah. And actually, a match that he had with Phil got over 1 million views. It's one of the better ones. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And these guys, say what you want. These guys would live with plenty of time.
to record these things, and there's a lot of channels and a
lot
of viewing.
Yeah, they're not playing as many rounds.
Correct.
Exactly.
So, watching Phil just twist Grant Horvath into a mental pretzel is just amazing. You talk about a 54-year-old guy and a 25-year-old kid. 54-year-old seen it all, done it all, and he just wrecks them.
It was very funny.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Sports Network. Ingrid Andres was the country artist who did the national anthem last night, and it was bad. It was really bad, and I'm just seeing her getting crushed everywhere, and I understand why, and you don't want there to be a bad national anthem, especially, I mean, with that particular song before a sporting event. It's just when it gets butchered in that way, it's not good, but I mean, I can't even imagine how she feels this morning. I mean, she's got to be like, now most people don't know her, especially the sports community. They don't know her from the Whiskey Thinking or whatever the song was that she did with Sam Hunt that was really popular. Now they know her from this. So like, she's going to have that recollection from like everybody when they, oh, that's that woman who completely butchered the national anthem. You know, this wasn't like Fergie when she did it, which was so bad at the NBA All-Star game. Like, Fergie had a long career with the Black Eyed Peas and done a bunch of stuff, and it's like, oh, Fergie did a bad national anthem, whatever. But with Ingrid Andres, she's someone who's not nearly as popular as Fergie was when she crapped all over it, and most people are just gonna, she's the, like, her name comes up, oh yeah, she's the one who had that terrible national anthem.
Yeah, I had no idea who she was at all. I thought it was some owner's daughter or something out there singing. And it's really unfortunate because in this day and age of social media, she is just going to get hammered. And that's just the life we all lead if we're living in the public.
Yeah, no.
And she's going to have thick skin. You know that.
Yeah, of course. I know. And it's...
What are you going to do, man? I mean, everybody there was cringing. Everybody.
Yeah, I know.
Even the announcers were cringing. You know, the detail that was holding up the flag behind him, those guys were cringing. The players were cringing. Boehm was smiling, trying not to laugh.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, so it was a disaster.
So what, all right, if you are the crisis management team for her, what's the play?
I get her a new song immediately, get her in the studio, and get it out on the radio. I mean, I don't know. Look, there could have been something going on with her, the hearing and everything in that stadium, and sometimes those things don't work right, and it sends these singers off key. But she was off key, man. Woof.
I know, it's terrible. I wonder if she's on the same record label as
Jordan Davis.
I'm looking.
I'm sure she's a really good person.
No,
I'm
she
sure
is. She's talented, of course.
But my God, that was just one of the really bad performances. And because social media is aggravating the situation, it just enhances and intensifies the response.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good call. Like, to capitalize on the negative attention and go put something else out there. You know, that sounds good. That's a good call. I would also just, like, you know, disappear for a little bit too would be another option. You know, just climb
just
under
wait
a year, rock.
Maybe everybody forgets about you and then come out with a song.
Yeah,
and then they'll say, "Remember her? She actually butchered the national anthem."
That's the thing that sucks about it, man.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah, Fleegs is saying this is a good question. Do they have her do something like, would, if the crisis management team, like, all right, let's try this again somewhere else and then give you another shot, and you do it, and then people are like, okay, she can sing. I mean, is this a career ruiner?
Yep. I don't necessarily know that she has the fame yet to have it ruined. I think she's on the cusp of something, but I don't think she's, if this were, if we're Dua Lipa.
Right.
And it exposed some sort of voice manipulation when she's in the studio.
Like, or Ashley Simpson. Remember that? When she got caught lip syncing on Saturday Night Live? Yeah, I mean, but see, the way I look at it is because she's not that popular, it could be a career ruiner.
Nah, I think,
as opposed to someone who's very, very popular, where like the fan base is going to come to her defense and be like, listen, we know she's great. She had a bad night, whatever. when you're not really known.
There's a lot of those bad nights going around these days.
Yeah, you know what I mean, though.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think that could be an issue.
I feel bad for her, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a hard song to sing, and people are waiting for it, especially after what happened this weekend with the attempted assassination of President Trump. You want a strong voice to be singing the national anthem because, you know, in times like this, no matter what it is, we're all Americans. Nobody wants to see what we saw on Saturday. Nobody wants to feel that feeling. And it is a political figure that represents, you know, a political party in our country, and nobody wants to feel that.
Right.
And there is a tinge of patriotic vibe that comes out of all of us when something like this happens because we all feel it.
Sure.
I don't care what anybody says. We all feel it. And which brings me to my next point. The amount of stories now coming out about Saturday and what went down and what didn't go down is frightening.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely frightening. And I don't know what to make of it at this point. I guess we still have to wait and continue. But the more media that comes out, the more social media comes out, the more videos that come out of what happened on Saturday, it is a total, total lack of preparation and prevention that needs to be answered.
Right. I mean, and you would think that each one of these rallies and how much, well, any of these politicians, when they're that in front of that many people, how exposed they are, that there wouldn't be this type of negligence and laziness and dropping the ball.
So I'm thinking about this. You know, we're talking about how old these two candidates are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Donald Trump's 79 years old. He got shot in the ear. He got up. He was surrounded by Secret Service, about 7 or 8 of them, and was able to somehow just spring up, raise his fist in the air, and yell, fight, 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 3 times.
Yeah.
79 years old.
78, but yeah.
Well, we'll be 79.
In June of next year.
What would be the reaction had that been Joe Biden?
I'm not answering that. not answered. I know where you're going. I'm not answering it. It would be obviously.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
So, you know, anybody that's talking about the age difference, it's not that big of a spread, but there is obviously two different people.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
I mean, you see it. I mean, there's.
The man got shot and got up.
I know. I'm just trying to compare people around here. Like Al is 54. He doesn't look 54, right? And you see some other people that have not taken care of themselves as much in their 50s, and they look a hell of a lot worse. So, I mean, it happens. So, yes, and age is just a number sometimes, Boomer, as they say.
I mean, a guy got shot, got up the next morning, played golf, then flew to Milwaukee. And then showed up last night with a bandage on his ear.
That sounds like you outside of getting shot. Right. Sounds like your schedule. Just take the getting shot out of it.
Well, I did get hit in the mouth when me and Craig first started in a hockey game.
You had a hockey puck, yeah.
Right.
Not quite a bullet, but a hockey stick.
Oh,
hockey stick, okay.
Right, and I had Dr. Rossman, who's about all of 5'8", climbing on me to get my tooth out of my jaw. And the next morning, I showed up with like 50 stitches in my mouth.
Yeah.
But I showed up to work.
Thank God we weren't on TV, though. Yeah, yeah. Well, at that point, you didn't have the MSG simulcast yet?
That's exactly right.
Oh, wow.
And by the way, so I was 46 years old at that time. I wasn't 79.
That's right.
79 years old.
Oh, 78, and yeah.
Well, sorry, right, 78 there, years yeah. old, and you're shot in the ear.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I know.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. Fight, fight, fight. Get right up. Put my shoes on.
You know, that's the other thing. Does he take his shoes off when he gives the speech?
Or did he just fall out of his shoes?
How do you fall out of your shoes?
I don't know. Maybe they're too big.
He must take his shoes off when he gives a speech.
Right.
Maybe his feet hurt or something. That was strange.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I know, you see I don't know if it was the National Guard or the Army. They were there.
Yes.
They came running in. I mean, this is crazy what's going on.
All right. So coming up next, you had a grain of salt spot that we talked about at 6. There's someone else on television nationally this morning who's saying the same exact thing right after you said it.
Oh, okay.
Good. So is it a grain of salt spot for them as well?
We'll find out, I guess.
We will find out. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Gio.
Sports Network. Ingrid Andres was the country artist who did the national anthem last night, and it was bad. It was really bad, and I'm just seeing her getting crushed everywhere, and I understand why, and you don't want there to be a bad national anthem, especially, I mean, with that particular song before a sporting event. It's just when it gets butchered in that way, it's not good, but I mean, I can't even imagine how she feels this morning. I mean, she's got to be like, now most people don't know her, especially the sports community. They don't know her from the Whiskey Thinking or whatever the song was that she did with Sam Hunt that was really popular. Now they know her from this. So like, she's going to have that recollection from like everybody when they, oh, that's that woman who completely butchered the national anthem. You know, this wasn't like Fergie when she did it, which was so bad at the NBA All-Star game. Like, Fergie had had a long career with the Black Eyed Peas and done a bunch of stuff, and it's like, oh, Fergie did a bad national anthem, whatever. But with Ingrid Andres, she's someone who's not nearly as popular as Fergie was when she crapped all over it, and most people are just gonna, she's the, like, her name comes up. Oh, yeah, she's the one who had that terrible national anthem.
Yeah, I had no idea who she was at all. I thought it was some owner's daughter or something out there singing. And it's really unfortunate because in this day and age of social media, she is just going to get hammered. And that's just the life we all lead if we are living, or if we're living in the public.
Yeah, no.
And she's going to have thick skin. You know that.
Yeah, of course. I know. And it's,
what are you going to do, man? I mean, everybody there was cringing. Everybody.
Yeah, I know.
Even the announcers were cringing. The detail that was holding up the flag behind him, those guys were cringing. The players were cringing. Boehm was smiling, trying not to laugh.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, so it was a disaster.
So what, all right, if you are the crisis management team for her, what's the play?
I get her a new song immediately, get her in the studio, and get it out on the radio. I mean, I don't know. Look, there could have been something going on with her, the hearing and everything in that stadium, and sometimes those things don't work right, and it sends these singers off key. But she was off key, man. Woof.
I know, it's terrible. I wonder if she's on the same record label as
Jordan Davis.
I'm looking.
I'm sure she's a really good person.
No,
she is.
She's talented, of course.
But my God, that was just one of the really bad performances. And because social media is aggravating the situation, it just enhances and intensifies the response.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good call. Like, to capitalize on the negative attention and go put something else out there, you know, that sounds good. That's a good call. I would also just, like, you know, disappear for a little bit too would be another option. You know, just climb just under a year, rock.
Maybe everybody forgets about you and then come out with a song.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, you remember her? She actually butchered the national anthem.
That's the thing that sucks about it, man.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah, Fleegs is saying, this is a good question. Do they have her do something, like, would, if the crisis management team, like, all right, let's try this again somewhere else and then give you another shot, and you do it, and then people are like, okay, she can sing. I mean, is this a career ruiner?
Yep. I don't necessarily know that she has the fame yet to have it ruined. I think she's on the cusp of something, but I don't think she's... See, you know, if this were... We're Dua Lipa.
Right.
And it exposed some sort of voice manipulation when she's in the studio.
Like, or Ashley Simpson. Remember that? When she got caught lip syncing on Saturday Night Live? Yeah. I mean, but see, the way I look at it is because she's not that popular, it could be a career ruiner.
Nah, I think.
As opposed to someone who's very, very popular, where, like, the fan base is going to come to her defense and be like, listen, we know she's great. She had a bad night, whatever. When you're not really known.
There's a lot of those bad nights going around these days.
Yeah, you know what I mean, though.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think that could be an issue.
I feel bad for her, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a hard song to sing, and people are waiting for it, especially after what happened this weekend with the attempted assassination of President Trump. You want a strong voice to be singing the national anthem because, you know, in times like this, no matter what it is, we're all Americans. Nobody wants to see what we saw on Saturday. Nobody wants to feel that feeling. And it is a political figure that represents, you know, a political party in our country, and nobody wants to feel that.
Right.
And there is a tinge of patriotic vibe that comes out of all of us when something like this happens because we all feel it.
Sure.
I don't care what anybody says. We all feel it. And which brings me to my next point. The amount of stories now coming out about Saturday and what went down and what didn't go down is frightening.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely frightening. And I don't know what to make of it at this point. I guess we still have to wait and continue. But the more media that comes out, the more social media comes out, the more videos that come out of what happened on Saturday, it is a total, total lack of preparation and prevention that, I mean, that needs to be answered.
Right. I mean, and you would think that each one of these rallies and how much, well, any of these politicians, when they're that in front of that many people, how exposed they are, that there wouldn't be this type of negligence and laziness and dropping the ball.
So I'm thinking about this. You know, we're talking about how old these two candidates are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Donald Trump's 79 years old. He got shot in the ear. He got up. He was surrounded by Secret Service, about 7 or 8 of them, and was able to somehow just spring up, raise his fist in the air, and yell, fight, 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 3 times.
Yeah.
79 years old.
78, but yeah.
Well, we'll be 79.
In June of next year.
What would be the reaction had that been Joe Biden?
I can't. I'm not answering that. I'm not answering. I know where you're going. I'm not answering. It would be obviously
not even. It's not even close.
Yeah.
So you know, anybody that's talking about the age difference, it is. It's not that big of a spread, but there is obviously two different people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even close.
I mean, you see it. I mean, there's.
The man got shot and got up.
I know. I'm just trying to compare people around here, like Al. Is 54. He doesn't look 54, right? And you see some other people that have not taken care of themselves as much in their 50s, and they look a hell of a lot worse. So, I mean, it happens. So, yes, and age is just a number sometimes, Boomer, as they say.
I mean, the guy got shot, got up the next morning, played golf, then flew to Milwaukee. And then showed up last night with a bandage on his ear.
Outside of getting shot. Right? Sounds like your schedule. Just take the getting shot out of it.
Well, I did get hit in the mouth when me and Craig first started in a hockey game.
You had a hockey puck, yeah.
Right.
Not quite a bullet, but yeah.
A hockey stick.
Oh, hockey stick, okay.
Right, and I had Dr. Rossman, who's about all of 5'8", climbing on me to get my tooth out of my jaw. And the next morning, I showed up with like 50 stitches in my mouth.
Yeah.
But I showed up to work.
Thank God we weren't on TV, though. Yeah, yeah. Well, at that point, you didn't have the MSG simulcast yet?
That's exactly right.
Oh, wow.
And by the way, so I was 46 years old at that time. I wasn't 79.
That's right.
79 years old.
Oh, 78, and yeah.
Well, sorry, right, 78 there, years yeah. old, and you're shot in the ear.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I know.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. Fight, fight, fight. Get right up. Put my shoes on.
You know, that's the other thing. Does he take his shoes off when he gives the speech?
Or did he just fall out of his shoes?
How do you fall out of your shoes?
I don't know. Maybe they're too big.
He must take all his shoes off when he gives a speech.
Right.
Maybe his feet hurt or something. That was strange.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I know, you see I don't know if it was the National Guard or the Army. They were there.
Yes.
They came running in. I mean, this is crazy what's going on.
All right. So coming up next, you had a grain of salt spot that we talked about at 6. There's someone else on television nationally. This morning, who's saying the same exact thing right after you said it.
Oh, okay.
Good. So is it a grain of salt spot for them as well?
We'll find out, I guess.
We will find out. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.